Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to the Nishma Savi Moyer of David C. Ben of Yosef, as well as for a continued Refuah Shleima for David Meir Ben Mendel. Today's daf is Ksubas. Yesterday, we're going to do yesterday and today's daf, Be'ez Hashem b'li neder. So yesterday's daf was Pei Beis, and today's daf is Pei Gimel. So we're going to begin with yesterday's daf. We left off at the words Hahu Gavra, which is about 8 lines down on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. A Gemar Chasima Tova to everybody. It's Motzei Rosh Hashanah. Gemar Chasima Tova to Dr. Joe and to Avi and to Tzvika and to Yaakov and to David Yoshua and to Yisrael Moshe and to Reb Mordechai. Here we go. Says the Gemara, Ahu Gavra Danaf Leivama B'masa Machasya. A certain guy, his husband died. A Gemar Chasima Tova to Reb Zalman. A certain guy, so his brother died, and his brother's wife fell before him to Yibum in the town of Mas Machasia. Bo Achu Lemipsle Begita Minena. There was a third brother, a youngest brother, who was nervous about his older brother doing Yibum because he's afraid if the older brother do Yibum, his older brother is going to get the entire estate of the dead brother, because the halacha is the one who does Yibum gets rights over the whole estate of the brother. And the younger brother says, that's not fair. I want some of the estate too. So he wanted to give a get to this girl, because giving a get to her disqualifies her from Yibum for all the brothers. So this is the same story that we had actually in 2 days ago's daf. So the older brother said, oh, why you want to give her a get? Because you're afraid you're not going to get to split up the dead brother's property. I promise you, I will split the inheritance with you half-half. Amar lei. Mistafina davzali kida avid pumpedisai rama. If you remember in 2 days ago, the exact same story happened, and then the guy lived in Pumpedisa. He was a liar, and he backed out on the deal. So the guy says, no, I'm not going for that. I'm afraid you're going to back out like the liar from Pumpedisa backed out. A gemar chasima tova to Jeremy. So Amar lei, ibais ploglach mehashta. Okay, you don't trust me that I'm going to split his money with you, take your chelik up front right now. Now, in 2 days ago's daf, we learned the machlokas Abaye and Rav Yosef about whether or not you are actually allowed to sell the excess property above and beyond the amount that would be going for to pay for the ksuba. And Rav Yosef was the opinion that you're not allowed to do that. So says the Gemara, so in effect, what the guy was doing here is he's saying, listen, I just need the amount of money from him to pay for the ksuba, but the rest of it I'll split with you. So you could even take it now. But the question is, does that sale work? We had a whole discussion in the day before, 2 days ago's daf. Says Amar Ravashi, Afagav Dechiyos Rav Dimi, Amar Yochan, Homo Lechaver Lech Mishoch Parazu, Velotia Knulach Ela La'acha Shloshim Yom. Even though when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he quoted Allah in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if a man says to his friend, hey, I want to give you this this cow as a gift, but I don't want the gift to be chal until 30 days from now. So here, do mashicha on the cow now. So the maisa can you do now, but I want to suspend the chalos of the kin until after 30 days. So that works. Va'kana, so so after 30 days, he does acquire it. Even if the cow, after 30 days, is standing in a place where at that moment he could not have done Mashiach to it, namely an Agam, which is a place that you can't do Mashiach. But since you did the Mashiach now, that works. But says the Gemara, that's not the same as this. Hasam biyado. There, it was within your hands to give him the animal now, so you could suspend it for 30 days. But hacha lav biyado. But over here, you don't have the rights to give him this money now, because we hold like Rav Yosef, who said that you're not allowed to give the excess money. All of the money of the husband, the dead husband, his entire estate is meshubah to pay for the ksuba. You're not allowed to sell it to somebody. You're not allowed to give it away. So it's lav biyado. Now, let's discuss. Do we actually follow this or not? The Gemara now is going to discuss, go off on a little bit of a tangent. to discuss this din of Mar Baravashi, who said that I could suspend a kinyan for 30 days. Ask the Gemara, how could Mar Baravashi say that you could do a kinyan on something today and have it chal 30 days later, even if the kinyan could not be chal 30 days later? Says the Gemara. Really? Mar Baravashi held away. Valkiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kani. Ravin quoted the name Rabbi Yochanan. You can't pull that shtick, delay a kinyan 30 days. Answer the Gemara. Loi Kasha. Depends how you say it. Had Amale Kni Me Akshav Ula Achar Lamid. Vahad Lo Amale Kni Me Akshav. If you didn't say that you want the kinyan to work now and after 30 days, then it doesn't work. Just doing a ma'isa kinyan now, if you just said kni la'acha lamid, so then you can't suspend such a thing. The Rishonim have a dispute here how exactly this works. Do we say like the kinyan starts from now, but it doesn't finish till after 30 days? Or no, the whole kinyan is done now on the condition that 30 days arrives. But either way, it only works if you say kni me akshav. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is now going back to discuss, are you allowed to split up the Yerusha of the dead husband prior to the Yavam doing Yibum? Bo mine me'ula. So, the rabbis asked the Shaila, Talmidei Yeshiva asked from Ula. Yibim v'achar kachilek mahu. What's the din if he does Yibam and then he wants to split up the inheritance? He answered him, Lo asa v'lo klum. Sorry, you can't do that. Because we said before, Rabbi Yosef holds that all of the property of the dead husband, even after you do Yibam, all of the property of the dead husband is Meshubah. There's a lien, this mortgage to pay for the Ksuba. You're not allowed to give it away. You're not allowed to sell it to the other brother. Chilek v'akakibim. So let's say you tried to divide it up before the Yibam. The Gemara was going to say that's a ridiculous question. If you can't do it after the Yibam, Kavachom, you can't do it before the Yibam. Chilek v'akakibim, ma'u l'asalokum. Says the Gemara, what kind of ridiculous set of questions is that? Masra of Sheshes, hashti yimacha chilek l'asalokum. If you tell me after you did Yibam, you can't give away the property. Chilek v'akakibim, miboy, did you have to ask a question whether you could give him a chilek before you do the Yibam? Says the Gemara, you're right. Really, we didn't need to ask both questions, but Shnei Maisim Habu. There were two different stories that came up, and the Gemara was just asking the halacha by both of them. It wasn't that, like, you know, one was asked after the other one. Both Shilas came up, so they asked both Shilas. What's the halacha? Ki asa ravna mere shlokish, bein yibim v'akachilek, bein chilek v'akachibim, lo asa v'lo klum. V'hilchasa, lo asa v'lo klum. All of the property of the dead husband has to be mortgaged to pay for the ksuba. You're not allowed to get rid of it. You're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to split it with the other brother. Not before you do Yibam and not after you do Yibam. Now, we learned in the Mishnah, if the dead brother left fruit that was attached to the ground, so Rab Meir said, you evaluate how much was the field worth with the fruit and how much is the field worth without the fruit. And that amount of money you invest in property and the husband gets to eat the payros off of that. That's Rav Meir. And the Chachamim say, fruit is fruit is fruit is fruit is fruit. The Chachamim say, if there was fruit, you know, fruit belongs to the husband. There's nothing to talk about. Chachamim, payros ha-mechubarim l'karka, shalom. The Yavam gets the fruit. Ask the Gemara, why? Amai, why does he get the fruit? V'hakol nechasav achron v'arvon l'ksubasa. Any property that's attached to the ground that belonged, that was part of the marriage, should be meshubah to pay for the ksuba. Why does the husband get that? Says, well, you're right. Amar shlokesh tni shelah. Wow. No, it doesn't belong to him. If it's attached to the ground, it's karka. Karka has to be meshubah to pay for the ksuba. So it's really, it's hers. What does it mean it's hers? Even Chachamim agree. Shalah. And you sell the fruit and buy karka, and the peros belong to him. And there's really no machlokas. It's a little bit strange. Yeah, why they say it differently. So the Rishonim talk about that, but it boils down to the fact that they both really agree. Tosas Yonta talks about it. Okay. Kinsa harehi ki'ishta. Now the Mishnah said, once the Yavam, we are going to have the next couple of lines of the Gemara, a little chazar of Yavamas. Kinsa harehi ki'ishto. When a Yavam marries his Yavama, they're fully married. It's like his wife. Not bad, guys. Now I still have a voice. Pretty good, no? Pretty good. I watched Hashem was unbelievably good to me. You know why Hashem preserved my voice through the Rosh Hashanah? So I should be able to give this shir. That's why. It's all in yours, Chos. Kin Sarigish. Now, once a Yava marries a Yuvama, they're fully married. Harei Ki'ishto L'chol Davar. L'may Hilchasa. What's the chiddush of that? Amar Esbechinia Lomar Shemegarsha Begedu Machzira. Ah. What does it mean, Ki'ishto L'chol Davar? That he can divorce her and remarry her. You might have thought he can't remarry her because now it's Eish Yisach, right? It's no longer Yibum. No, they're fully married for everything. Even Lagabe the Halacha, he can divorce her and remarry her, unless he's a Kayin, but he can divorce her and remarry her. Says the Gemara, Megarsha Beget? Pshita. Obviously. Ma'ud the same, V'yibmam Rachman of Adayin Yibum Narashon Valea, Loitiskila Beget, Ella Bechalitza. You might have thought, hey, once you're getting rid of the marriage, so it's like you didn't do Yibum. So you need a Chalitza. Nah, Kamash Malan, she's fully married to you, so all you need is a get. You don't need a Chalitza also. Says the Gemara, Machzira, Pshita. Obviously you could remarry her. Why would you think you can't remarry her? Zach the Gemara, Ma'al the same mitzvah, Dramalei Rachmana, Avda, Vahash, Tekum, Alei, B'Isra'eshazish, Eshazach. You might have thought, well, you did the mitzvah of Yibum already. Now you're divorcing her, so you ruined the mitzvah of Yibum. So now it's back to the Yisra'esh Yisach. You're not allowed to marry her. No, Kamash Malan, the Mishnah Yichidish that you are. Says more of Eimah Hochinami. Maybe it's really true. You shouldn't be allowed to marry her again. You did Yibum once on her. You did the mitzvah. Now you're divorcing her. So maybe to marry her now, it's back to the Yisra'esh Yisach. Zakti Gemara. Omar Kra. Yivama Yavo Ala Ulakachalo Leisha. Once you marry her, she's your wife. There's no more Isser Eish Yisach. Even if you divorce her, she's still your wife and you could remarry her. There's no Isser Eish Yisach. Now, the Mishnah said, Uvavach de Ksubasa al Nichsei Bala Rishon. There's only one halacha that he's not the husband for. He doesn't have to pay the Ksuba from his own money. He's allowed to use the estate of his dead brother to pay for the ksuba. My timer. Ishek Nolmen Hashemayim. Hashem told him to do this. Hashem told him to marry her. He didn't want to marry this girl. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he has to marry. He's got to do the mitzvah. So we give him a break. We cut him some slack that he doesn't have to use his own money. He's allowed to use his dead brother's money to pay for it. Now, But there's only one, caveat. V'ilesla mirishon. If the first husband didn't have anything to pay the ksuba with, isla misheni. So then he does have to put his property up to pay the ksuba. Kadesh lo tekal bein of lo tzia. Then he's going to have to write a new ksuba. If there's no property left from the first marriage, then he's going to have to write a new ksuba with his own property because we don't want a situation where they're married and it's going to be easy for him to divorce her. Now the Mishnah said, "Lo yomar lo harei ksubaseich munachas al ha'shulchan." Now, if you remember, the Mishnah had said two things. The Yavam should not say to her, "Hey, listen." The Yavam either should not say to her or is not allowed to say to her. We'll talk about that. We talked about that in the other days, Daf. But the Yavam is not allowed to say to her, listen, let's take this one field. That'll pay for your ksuba. And all the other stuff I want to sell. He's not allowed to do that. And then the Mishnah said, a regular husband is not allowed to tell his wife, here, this is the one field that's designated for you, Ksuba, but all of his property is mortgaged to pay for the Ksuba. Really? Is that really true? A husband, he's not allowed to sell any of his property because all of it's mortgaged? Says the Gemara, my v'chein. So I got to give credit to Dr. J. Bindiger. Where's the daf Yomi coincidence? This is Rosh Hashanah's daf. Uvechein. 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 I once heard Rav Moshe Weinberger gave a whole shiur on why we keep saying Uvechein. Tzadikim. Uvechein. Tein pachtecha. Uvechein. Tein kavod. Uvechein. So he wanted to taina. That's the daf Yomi coincidence. Uvechein. What's Uvechein? What's Uvechein? What's the significance of Uvechein? We asked that on Rosh Hashanah. Apparently Rabbi Leibowitz also gave a talk on Uvechein. Anyway, my v'chein. Right. Right. Why might have made a distinction between Yavama and a husband? It's a funny question. What do you mean, why would you make a distinction? They're not the same. Says the Gemara. Ma'u the same. You might have thought. Hassan, by a case of Yibum, who there he shouldn't designate one field. Delay Kasavla de Kanayu de Kanina, because this Yavam never wrote in the Ksuba that all of my, he never wrote her a Ksuba. So she doesn't trust him, even though she has the Ksuba from the first husband, but he's going to say, no, maybe I'm not going to keep around stuff to pay for your Ksuba. Maybe there's going to be a fight. If he just designates one field, there's going to be a fight. She's going to say, oh, you're not really going to pay me the rest of them. Maybe everything. Maybe you're going to lose it. Aval hacha by a regular woman, de kasavla, de kanayu de kanina. He wrote during the ksuba that anything that I purchase is going to be mortgaged to pay for your ksuba. Ema samcha daita. You might think that she trusts you. She relies on you. So yeah, you could designate one field. You can designate one field for the ksuba, even if that field will get lost. So then you're meshubin with the other one. Kamash malan. No. Still, we don't want you to designate one field, even by a regular married woman. She doesn't trust you. We're afraid. You know why? So the Rishonim explain, you know why you can't do this? Right, there's a whole discussion to be shown them exactly why. Why can't you do this? So the simple shot, Rashi. Rashi says we're afraid if you designate one field to pay for the ksuba, so we're afraid she's gonna smell that you want to get rid of her. Why are you designating one field to the ksuba? Oh, you're like preparing for the ksuba. You're preparing to divorce me. So that's why we don't want you to do it. Now, the Mishnah said, Girsha ein la ela ksubasa. Once he divorces her, all she gets is the ksuba. But she doesn't get the other property from the husband. And at that juncture, once the husband divorces her and gives her the ksuba, so we learned, then the husband is allowed to sell the rest of the field they inherited from his brother. He's allowed to do business with it. Says Gemara, Girsha in, lo Girsha lo, only if he divorces her. Kamash malan, kid Rabbi Abba. So this teaches us that he can't sell, like Rabbi Abba said earlier. Right, Rabbi Abba said, if you want to sell the other stuff, what should you do? Marry her, divorce her, pay her the ksuba, and then remarry her. And in that way, you could sell the excess because you already paid her the ksuba. But kol zman that he doesn't divorce her, he's not allowed to sell the excess property from the brother. Now, hechzira reikhal anashim ve'en lelo ksubasa. Right? This is an interesting question, right? He divorces her. Let's say a man divorces his wife, but he didn't get around to paying her the ksuba yet. And then he remarries her. So the Gemara says, you don't have to write another ksuba. You have the same ksuba as the first time. You only get the first ksuba. Says the Gemara, Hechzira, my kamashmalan. What's the chiddush of that? That you don't get another ksubin. Tanina, we already learned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no. What do we say? I'm a garish zisha, machzira. I'm an asuba rishon machzira. It's the first ksuba. There's no new ksuba. Says the Gemara, mal de sema ishto hu diyukas of la ksuba minei. You might have thought, if a man is married to a woman and he divorces her and remarries her, so he was the one who wrote the first ksuba, so he doesn't have to write another ksuba. Aval yivimto delo iyukas of la. But in a case of where a guy is marrying a yibum, he's doing his dead brother's wife, he never wrote the first ksuba, so you would think if he divorces her and then remarries her, he's got to write a new ksuba. Aval yivimto delo iyukas of la hecha de gershav ahadra ema ksubasa minei. You might think in a case where he divorces or remarries, he's got to write a new ksuba from himself. Kamash malan, that no. He could rely on the first ksuba, which mortgaged only the property of the dead brother. Now, where do we see the source that all of the possessions of the husband are meshuba to pay for the ksuba? Amar Yehuda, bari shona hayukosvin libesula masayim ulamane mane. They used to write into the ksuba originally 200 zuz for the basula and 100 for the almana, and there was no lien on any property. Men would get old and they wouldn't marry because they're afraid they're going to die and have to pay the ksuba. Actually, what was happening was, right, the women didn't want to marry them because they were getting old, and they were afraid maybe the guy won't have money to pay us. Until Shem Metshetach came and he made a takana that they would write into the ksuba that all of the guy's property are meshuba to pay for the ksuba, but not the metaltalin, right? All the real estate, but not the metaltalin. Tainan amihachi. But they would not make any shibud on the property. When they would get older, the women didn't want to marry the men. So the rabbis made a takana, they would put the money destined for the ksuba in the father's house. Says, well, that's a very bad idea. That's bad to already have the ksuba paid in the father's, for the girl's father's house. It's too easy. It's too easy to divorce. They were misake that they would place it in the house of the husband. Ashiros, osos, osa, kalsos, shel kesef, shel zav. The rich girls, they would take the ksuba money and make it into a golden or silver basket. Anios, osan, la'avid, shel meir aglaim. The poor girls would make it into a toilet bowl. Apparently that was also worth something. But that's still not a good suggestion. If it's just a gold or silver basket or it's a toilet, it would be too easy to divorce. He'd get angry, divorce, say, here, go take your basket. Go take your golden basket. Go take your silver basket. All of my property is mortgaged to pay for your ksuba. Okay, that ends Ksuba's Daf Pei Beis, and that ends the eighth parak. Hadron Alach Ha'isha Shenaflu. We now start the ninth parak. Hakosev Le'ishto Dinu Dvar Menli Ben Chasayich. Here we go. The topic of the first daf of the ninth parak is, let's say a husband wants to be mochel on the takanas chachamim that the rabbi said he gets fruit. He wants to be mochel. How could he be mochel on that? Can he be mochel on that? If the rabbis award him fruit, can he be mochel? And if he can be mochel, how would he be mochel? So, says the Mishnah. Hakosev l'ishto dinu dvarim ein li ben chasayich. So his wife has these fields that came into the marriage, and he's supposed to get to eat the fruit. But he wants to be nice to his wife, and he writes in a document, he gives her a document that says the following cryptic words. Din udvarim ein li ben chasayich. I don't want to have anything to do with your property. Now he doesn't say there, I'm not eating the peros. He doesn't say I'm not going to inherit it after you die. He doesn't say that if you sell it, I want the sale, I want the sale to be Kayim. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, I don't want to have anything to do with the field. Does that Lashon have any halachic significance? Says the Gemara, Harei ze ochel peres b'chayah. So it doesn't work to get rid of the peres. He still gets to eat the fruit. Ve'imesa yarsha, if she dies, he still inherits it. Imkein, lama kasal ledin dvar meili b'chasayach. So what does it work for? Says the Gemara, it works for one thing. The Gemara is going to discuss why specifically this one thing does it work for. She'imachra v'nasna kayam. If the girl sold it or gave it away as a gift, it works. The husband cannot prevent a sale. And therefore, he's going to end up losing everything. She could sell it. However, if the husband writes a different lashon in the document, I don't want to have anything to do with your property, nor with the fruit. So then he doesn't get to eat the fruit while she's alive. But nevertheless, the imesa yarsha, if she dies, he still gets to inherit the field. Rabbi Yehuda adds on the following halacha, la'olam ochel pere peros. Even if he wrote, I want to have anything to do with the peros, he still gets the pere peros. What's the pere peros? So let's say this field produces fruit. And let's say she, for argument's sake, let's say he says, I don't want anything to do with the peros. So he doesn't get the peros. So she takes the peros, sells the peros, buys karka, and that karka makes peros. That's called Pere peros. Oh. He would omer la'olam ochel pere peros. If he only withdraws from the peros, he still gets to eat the pere peros. Ad sheyichtu la din dvarim ein li b'nechasayach u'beperosein u'bepere peroseim ad olam. Unless he writes in the document, I don't want anything to do with your peros or the pere peros forever. Kasav la din dvarim ein li b'nechasayach u'beperosein u'bepere peroseim b'chayeich u'vemoseich. Let's say the husband wrote, I don't want anything to do with your property, or the pere peros, both while you're alive and even after you're dead. Ein ochos peros b'chaya, v'imesa eino yarsha. So then he effectively withdrew himself from everything. He doesn't eat the fruit while she's alive, and even when she dies, he does not inherit it. Rabbi Shim Gamliel Omer, he disagrees. Imesa yirashena. No. Even if he specifically said, I don't want to inherit it, too bad. He inherits it anyway. Why? Because he's making a condition against that which it says in the Torah. Anyone who makes a condition, and this opinion Rosh Hashim holds even by Mamanus, who make a condition against that which it says in the Torah, the Tanai is Batel. How do you know the husband inheriting the wife is a pasuk in the Chumash? So Rashi quotes the source from the Gemara Bava Basra, Kuf Yud Aleph from Beis. There's a drasha. L'she'ero, ha'karov, elov mi'mishpachto, v'yorash osa. I think it's in Pinchas. V'yorash osa is extra, and we learn from there that it's dindoraisa, that the husband inherits the wife after she dies. So that's a dindoraisa. You're not allowed to make a condition against that. Therefore, even if you're right that I'm not going to inherit you after you die, nevertheless, he does inherit her after she dies. Says the Gemara. Tani Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia taught in the braisa. Ha'omer l'ishto. Even whatever this kenyan works for when you write the document, even if you don't write the document, you just tell your wife that you don't want to have anything to do with the field, that works so that if she sells it, it's a good sale, even if you just say it. Ask the Gemara. Why does saying or writing this help? V'chikasav l'achim ahavi. V'atani, we learn by partners that din is not this way. Two partners own a field. One partner writes a document to the other one and says, I don't want to have anything to do with the field. Guess what? Doesn't work because there's no kinyan. He didn't give it to her. He just said, I don't want anything to do with it. That doesn't work. If you own it, saying, I don't want anything to do with it, does nothing. Says the Gemara, a guy's partners with his friend and he writes him a document. I don't want anything to do with this field. I don't have to do with it. Yadim slugs him in. My hands are withdrawn from it. Loyamar klum. That's not a language of Kenyan. So he doesn't lose his rights to the field. So how come over here he does? Says him, well, you're right. Amar Devei Rabbeinu, because of Lavoda Arusa. Ah. This is talking about a case where he wrote it before he got it, while she was still engaged. Kid Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana, Nachla, Bol Adam, Limelkom Acher, Adam Masel, Leshloi, Rashena. A person in advance of inheriting something, he can make a condition and say, I don't want to inherit it in advance of inheriting. Uchid Rabba, this is also going like Rava. A person who says, even though the rabbis were misakein that I get to eat the fruit, or that I could prevent the girl from selling it, that's a takanas chachamim. If a guy says, I don't want the takanas chachamim, I want to be mocha on the takanas chachamim. So if it's in advance, and he says, I don't want the takanas chachamim, kigon zu, like in this case, Rav Huna said this by Rava said this by a different case. We'll see which case in a second. We've had that case before. Shomen lo, he's allowed to say a takanas chacham that was made for his benefit. He's allowed to say, "Thank you very much, rabbis. I don't want this takanas chacham." Maike gonzu, where did Rava originally say this? Kid Rav Huna ma Rav, like we've had earlier in the Masech, and we had in Yuvamas also, the famous din of Rav Huna ma Rav. Rav Huna ma Rav. The Wall Street lawyer who's making a seven-figure salary, a girl. And the rabbi said, oh, the husband has to provide food for his wife. She says, Shkoyach, I'm making seven figures. Do me a favor. Lomi duvshech v'lomi uvtsech. Lomi uktsech. I don't want your mizonos. I know the rabbi said, in the times of the Gemara, the women usually didn't work. So that's why the rabbi said he has to provide food for her. But if she's making seven figures, so then why in the world would she say, which she doesn't want his food? She could say, Eini nizonus v'eini osa. I'm keeping my seven-figure Wall Street attorney salary, and do me tutminishkin toivis. I don't want your food. She could say that. In other words, the rabbis made a takana for her benefit. If it's not for her benefit, she could say, I don't want the takana. So to over here, the guy can say, I know the rabbis gave me the fruit for my benefit. Tutmanishkin Tavis, I don't want the fruit. Says the Gemara, Ihachi afil nesuanami. If you could say you don't want a takanas chachamim, why can't you say it after you're married? Says the Gemara, Abai, nesua yado ki yada. So Abaya says, if she inherited this field when she's married, so the two of them are equal partners, and he has to do something to get rid of it. He's a part owner. Just saying din udvarim is not enough. Rava Amar, not only are the two of them partners, yado adifa miyada. Rava says his chelik is bigger than her chelik. Nafgamina l'shomeres yavam. So this has a nafgamina by a halacha that we learned at the beginning of this parak, the beginning of the last parak. We learned about ahomachlok is b'shan b'sil. If she inherits something when she's in arusa, or if she inherits something when she's nesua, then she dies. I'm sorry, then the husband dies. So then the question is, who gets the ksuba when the brother does yibum, right? In whose reshus is it? So the Gemara had a whole machlokes b'Shabbos Hillel. The nichsei mulug goes one way, the nichsei tzon bazel goes the other way. They split, and the ksuba stays by him, the nichsei mulug stays by her, and the nichsei tzon bazel gets split. So that's what Abaye said. But Rava says, no, his hand is greater than hers. Right, if she had property which she's bringing into the Yibum, and then she dies, Machlok is Shem Beis Hillel, who inherits her? Do her relatives get the stuff from the Ksuba, or do his relatives get it? Beis Shammai says, Yorshe Habal and the Yorshe of the girl, they split. Beis Hillel says, depends which kind of nechassim. Nichsei tzon barzel, they split. The ksuba stays by his relatives. The nichsei malug stay by her relatives. Abaye says that's talking about stuff that she got during the first marriage, and they were equal owners, and therefore they split. According to Beis Shammai, they split. But Rava says no. stuff that she got in the first marriage, the husband has a greater chelik in it. And Beis Shammai would not argue about that. They only argue about nechasim that happened after the husband died. But while the husband was still alive, Rava says he has a greater hand in it, and therefore he gets it. Says the Gemara, Ibailuhu, the Bnei HaYeshiva asked the following fascinating question. Okay, so Rabosai, we said before that if a husband wants, if he says or writes, Dinu Dvarim Ein Li Ben Chasayich, it doesn't work. He still gets the fruit. Let's say he makes a kinyan. He does a kinyan with a handkerchief on his words. So the shayla is like this. Is the kinyan just on the bad words and therefore the kinyan doesn't help at all? Or do we say, no, the kinyan is in addition to the words and therefore the kinyan actually is makne, the fruit, back to her? Says, wait, boy, look, cut me out of the mouth. Amar of Yosef, or Mordechai's favorite rabbi. Amar of Yosef, midinu dvarim cut me out. Rav Yosef says, the same bad words, the kinyan is just going on the bad words, so the kinyan doesn't help nothing. Rav Nachman says, no, the kinyan actually works to give the girl the peros, or the guf hakarka. Actually, I apologize. Right, this Gemara is talking about not the husband and wife. This is talking about the partners, right? Remember I said before that two partners, if one partner just writes or says, I don't want anything to do with this, that doesn't help. Let's say he makes a kinyan. So again, so Rav Yosef said, doesn't mean anything. The kinyan is just following the bad words. Rav Nachman, no, Megubushka can't be able to. No, it really does work. I'm Rabbi, Mistavrin Milstra Rav Yosef. This Rav Yosef said that the kinyan does not work. Be'orer. If right away, if the partner starts to like use the field, he right away says, no, don't do that. But if the guy just lets him take it, then Beguva Shakaka can't be other. Chances are, what he meant with the Kenyan is to actually give it to him, because why didn't he complain when the guy started taking it and using the whole thing? Amar Beimer, Hilchasa Beguva Shakaka can't be other. The halacha is if they do a Kenyan, then really the other partner gets to acquire the entire field. Amar Bashla, Meimar, Ba'oro Ba'omid, Lamaynafni, Lilch the Rav Yosef. Right? Is there a difference whether the guy yells right away or not? Says the Amalei. So Maimer said back to Ravashi, Lo Shmieli. I never heard such a distinction. Kloma Lo Svirli. The Gemara says when he says never heard it, he means I don't like that distinction. To me, it makes no difference. If he makes a kinyan, it doesn't make a difference. If he yells right away or doesn't yell right away. If he made a kinyan, that means he's planning on giving the other half of the field, his half of the field, to his partner. Now, says the Gemara. Imkein lamakos of la dinu dvarim ein li ben chasayich. Ask the Gemara. V'teimalei mikol mi l'salkas nafshach. Why do these words, dinu dvarim ein li ben chasayich, only mean that if she sells it, it works? Why can't she say to him, you said you don't want anything to do with the field, so I get the fruit? I'm Rabbi. Yad balashtara tachtona. Abaye says, we have a rule. Whenever a person uses a vague language, we could only apply the vague language to the lowest common denominator, to the smallest aspect of it. So what did the guy say? Dinu dvarim ein li ben chasayich. So this is Abaye. So Abaye says, what is the least that he could have meant? He uses very vague language. What's the least he could have meant? The least is, if she sells the field, it's a good sale. But he doesn't lose the fruit. He doesn't lose the inheritance. All he loses is the least amount. And the Gemara now assumes that the least thing he could have meant is that I'm going to allow you to sell it if you want to sell it. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema Miperi, how do you know allowing her to sell it is the least? Maybe that he should not get the fruit. Maybe that's the least thing that he could have meant. Says the Gemara, least? I'm Rabbi. Botsina tav mikara. A small pumpkin that grows now is better than a big pumpkin that grows later. Commonly known as one in the hand is worth two in the bush. Meaning, since he's getting the fruit right now, he doesn't want to give up on that. That's who knows if she's even going to sell it. So that's later. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema mi Rusha. Maybe what he means to leave is that he shouldn't have the rights to inherit her. Death happens to everybody. That she's going to sell the field may never happen. So he'd rather it mean that she can sell the field because that might not happen. But the fact that she's going to die, he doesn't want to lose that, the inheritance. So it makes more sense that he would be removing himself from something that's very infrequent. But from her death, which is frequent, it's going to happen, he doesn't want to lose the rights to inherit her after she dies. Now, Rav Ashi has a different reason for why he only means to remove himself from her mechira. Rav Ashi Amar, look at the words that he said. What did he say? Dinu dvarim ein li bin nechasayich. He doesn't say the peros, and he doesn't say after death. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo'olam wo'ocho per peros, right? Rabbi Yehuda says, if a guy says, dinu dvarim ein li bin nechasayich ube peroseyem, he loses rights to the peros, but he doesn't lose rights to pere peros. Unless he says, Dinuvram Ainli bin Chasaich, Ube Peroseim, Ube Pere Peroseim, Ad Olam. Tana Rabbanan, Elohim Peros, Elohim Pere Peros, what's Peros and what's Pere Peros? Hechnisa lo karka va'asasa peros. If the woman brings into the marriage land, Nichse Malug, and it produces fruit during the marriage, Harein Peros. Okay, that's Peros. The husband gets that. Machar, let's say the husband took some of the fruit and he sells it. Machar peros v'lokach mehen karka v'asas ha-peros. Let's say the husband took some of the fruit that he was entitled to. He sells it, takes the money, buys a field. That's peri, and that field produces fruit. That's fruit of the fruit. That's peri peros. Now, ibailu. Now, it's a little bit weird. What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda said, if he says, Dinu dvarim ein li minachasayach ube peros seyen, he still gets the pere peros unless the guy writes what? What was the language? Unless he writes, Dinu dvarim ein li minachasayach ube pere peros seyen ad olam. The Gemara now is going to question, why do you have to say both pere peros seyen and ad olam? Does it work with one or the other, or do you need both? Ah, let's see. Zakta Heligimar. Ibailuhu l'Rabbi Yehuda pere peros dafka. Odilma adolam dafka. Odilma tarvayu dafka. Three possibilities. Is it enough just to write pere peros? Is it enough just to write adolam? Or do you actually need both? Three possibilities. Zakta Heligimar. Im tim salomer pere peros dafka adolam lamali. If you, the Gemara says, how could you say Peir Peros is dafka? Well, then why did you say Adolam? The Gemara says, no, maybe Peir Peros is really good enough. Hakamash one, but the Mishnah just means to tell us, Kevin the Kusla Peir Peros, Kiman the Kusla Adolam dummy. Once he writes Peir Peros, that's good. So that's one way of looking at it. V'im tim tzalomer Adolam dafka, but if you say no, that actually you have to say Adolam, well then, Peir Peros lamali, then why'd you have to write Peir Peros? You wrote already Adolam. No, the chiddush is, even if you write peri peros, it's not good enough. You have to also write adolam. Because why? As the Gemara is going to say in a minute, because maybe peri peros only means peri peros, but not peri peri peros. Now, if you say you have to write both of them, in other words, you have to write Dinu dvarim ein li bin chasayich ube pere peroseim ad olam. If you need to write both of them, well, tate lamali. Why in the world do you need both? Says Gemara, that's easy. Sricha, you need both. Di kasav la pere peros v'lo kasav la ad olam havamina pere peros v'lo achil avol pere de pere peros achil. If you would have just written pere peros, you would have thought the second generation you're withdrawing from, but the third generation you're still allowed to have. That's what you need adolam. Because of law adolam, And if you write out a law, v'lo kasav l'peiros, halamina la'olam apeiros kai. Maybe la'olam means only the first generation fruits forever, like this year's crop and next year's crop and the area. But it's all just peiros. But peiros, maybe you're not withdrawing from. So come out, l'hach yitzrich peiros. That's why you have to write peiros and peiros ad olam, which means peiros and peiros and peiros and peiros. You can keep going on your own. Ibailahu. The Bnei HaYeshiva has two sadalach informational question. Almost done. Ibailahu. Bnei HaYeshiva has two sadalach informational question. Kosav lo dinu dorm ein li bin chasayach ube peri peros. Uh-oh. What about if he skipped the peros? He wrote, dinu dvarim ein li bin chasayach ube peri peroseim. Oh, but the peros I'm still keeping. Says the Gemara, ma'u shiocha peros. Is he allowed to eat the peros? Mi peri peros alak nafshe. Mi peri lo salak nafshe. Odima. Mi kol milas alak nafshe. He meant everything. Says Gemara, pshitin mekol milas alak nafshe. It's obvious that he meant to withdraw from everything. The Amris, mi peri salak nafshe. If you say he was only withdrawing for the peri peros, but he's keeping the peros, mi peri lo salak nafshe, he's keeping the peros, came with achlin leperos, if he's eating all the peros, peri mehecha, where are they going to be peri peros from, is he eating all the peros? Now, the Shita Mukubetsis points out that this is a ridiculous question. Why don't you just say, no, he left over some of the fruit, and he'll buy kaka with that and buy more peros. And that, he's saying, I don't have rights to. So the Shita Mukubetsis says that somehow the Gemara thinks at this juncture, even though the Gemara is going to turn around and reject this, but the Gemara thinks at this juncture that if he's saying he's withdrawing from peri-peros, that means he has to see to it that there will be peri-peros. So, how could he eat the peros if there's going to be nothing left over? Says Gemara, V'li tameich, how does that mean? Who don't want to eat peri-peros? If he just withdraws from peros, he's allowed to eat the peri-peros. What do you mean? K'vadachlin l'peri. Since she's eating the peros, peri-peros mehecha, where are they going to eat peri-peros from? Says Gemara, no. Ella, b'dishayra. With the leftover fruit, they're going to buy kaka. There'll be peri-peros. So, achanayim b'dishayra. So, you have no raya. You have no raya. The Gemara doesn't give an answer. We don't know. If he just says peri-peros, does it mean that he's withdrawing from the peros? Also, we don't know. The Gemara leaves that, b'tzarachin. And the last line of the Mishnah, we're going to leave this for tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day, a wonderful night, a gemach hasima tova, a good gebench tiar.
Have a good night.